We're starting off with Hilchos Tefillah and the Rambam. So everybody should have a Rambam in front of them. Now we pointed out in the Koteret that the Rambam includes in the framework of Tefillah two mitzvahs. One, of course, is Tefillah, and then there's Birkas Kohanim. And we raised the question of why would Birkas Kohanim be incorporated in Hilchos Tefillah as opposed to, say, Hilchos Brachos. Now, the Rambam in Halacha Aleph, Mitzvah Saseh L'Espalel B'chol Yom. It's a Mitzvah Saseh to be L'Espalel B'chol Yom. It's seen every day. Shenemar V'avadetem Esad Hashem Elokechem. And you shall serve the Lord your God. Mipiyah Shmua Lamdu, so of course you will Mipiyah Shmua. The words themselves are never sufficient to really tell you specifically what it's referring to, because it's a general term. To serve God. Mipiyah Shmua Lamdu, Zui Tefillah. That this is a specific reference to Tefillah. It's mandated in Tefillah. How do I know? Shenemar, it says, Uli Abda B'chal Vavachem. To serve God with all of your heart. Amru Chachamim, so the Chacham said, Ezuhi avodah shebelev, zu tefillah. What is the service of the heart? That's tefillah. Bear in mind also that you can raise the same question. Just because it says, Uliyavda b'chol avacham, to serve God with all of your heart, it's not that we learn it from those words, because that doesn't necessarily refer to tefillah. To take those words and to interpret it according to the idea of avodah shebelev, it's kind of a play on words. You understand? Plain pshat is that when you serve God, like Ramban, his critique of the Rambam, that you should serve God with not as a burden, but with complete concentration, complete focus, with your whole heart. You shouldn't hold it like b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshcha, b'chol ma'odecha, that the service of God should be something which is all embracing and total.
I
just wanted to point out that you have to understand what the Rambam is saying, and that is that what I'm pointing out though is that the Rambam means Mipiyah Shmuah, that he's talking about the Masorah, that the way it was passed down from generation to generation is that it's a reference to Tefillah. However, every idea of the Torah Shebaal Peh, generally speaking, has a certain reference point in the Torah Shebaal Peh, in accordance with the proper principles of Drush. So what he's saying is like this, that when it says V'avayotem Es Hashem Elokecha Uli Avdo B'chol Levavchem, when it says Uli Avdo B'chol Levavchem, to serve God with your whole heart. No, I'm sorry, the first passage before V'avayotem Es Hashem Elokecha, that you should serve the Lord your God. So what's avoda? It's a generic term. The Rambam is saying that the only way we could possibly know is through a system of transmission that goes all the way back to Sinai. That when God gave the Torah, it's written in a way that you really cannot figure out specifically. It's too general. So the interpretations, diktukel, all the particularities, all the interpretations were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu started the Masorah system, and then he passed it on. So that's what he means. You follow? That's how I know. The only way I know that it's a reference to Tefillah is through the Masorah. Then he goes ahead and he says, well, the Pasuk says, we have the B'chol Avavcha. And he says, Avodah Shebelev, and Tefillah is an Avodah Shebelev, it must be Tefillah. So what is it? Is it that we know from the other Pasuk, that the other Pasuk modifies and lets me know what it's talking about? Or it's Mipiyah Shmuah? What are we talking about over here? First he starts off by saying Mipiyah Shmuah. I mean, if you wanted, you could frame the question that way. Is the Rambam saying it's Mipiyah Shmuah? Is the Rambam saying that it's not? You don't need Shmuah, you have the Pasuk. B'chol Levavchem. B'chol Levavchem, Avodah Shebelev, that's Tefillah. The answer to the question is that the only way we know this is Mipiyah Shmuah. However, the idea that V'avadetem Esad Hashem Elokechem is a reference to Tefillah, that idea which we know through the Masorah is alluded to in another pasuk. in accordance with the appropriate methods of drash, which the Chacham knew. And that is, the other pasuk alludes to this because it says b'chol levavachem, and this is plain pshat. Of course, the plain pshat means what I just said: serve God wholeheartedly. But on a halachic level of interpretation, it's teaching us that there's a different type of an avoda shebelev, service of the heart. And that's what tefillah is. The essence of tefillah is a key in belay, that the person has a certain consciousness of being in the presence of God. And all the ideas that tefillah entails, I'm not going to go into that right now. Amru Chacham Meizu Hi Avodah Shebelev. Chacham said, what is the Avodah Shebelev? Zu tefillah. So basically the Rambam has established a very, very significant fact, and that is that he holds that essentially, or quintessentially, tefillah is midiraisa. But it's very interesting, it's very unique, in terms of, that's as far as it goes. As we'll see, the dioraisa part of tefillah doesn't really go that far. It's unusual, it's going to be a little bit different than other mitzvahs, because generally speaking, when Shatam Yasayidacha is a reference to tefillin, it's not just that we know that tefillin is dioraisa, but all the particularities of tefillin, how it's constructed, all the details are part of the masar as well. It's not just telling you that you should have some kind of an oath on your hand, it's telling you exactly what it ought to be, and when you should be, it should be worn, and so on and so forth. Tefillah, as we're going to see, is different, because how far does the oraisa go? Then he says, the ein minyan ha-tefillos from that Torah. But the amount, there's no set amount of tefillos mid the oraisa. The ein mishnah ha-tefillah ha-zos min ha-Torah. What does that mean, the Mishnah HaTorah? The Nusach, basically, the text, the wording. That's not Midiraisa. The Ein L'Tfilah Zman Kavua Min HaTorah. And Tfilah does not have any set time Min HaTorah. Now, he's mentioning these things because all of these things we're familiar with. And so when you think about tefillah, you take out a siddur, you have the Shmon Esrei, it's got a set text, the Mishnah. You have Zman, you have Shachris, you're always concerned, is it Zman tefillah, did I get up too late, is it Zman tefillah or not? And the Minyan has tefillahs. How many tefillahs free every day, and Musaf on Shabbos and so forth. All these things are things that we consider to be part of tefillah. The Rambam is saying that these things are not the dioraisa. He's trying to delineate the what constitutes the dioraisa. Now the last statement is a little bit controversial. It doesn't have Zman Kavua. So then when do you daven? According to the Oraisa.
Anytime.
Okay. But when do you have to daven? Is that what it's saying? Yeah. Bear that in mind because Ramban takes up the point. He says, well, let's proceed now. Ulufichach, Noshem V'Avadim, Chayav V'Tfilah. According to the Rambam, women, by avodim here, what kind of avodim are we talking about? Eved Ivri or Eved Kanani? Eved Kanani. Eved Ivri is nothing to say. Eved Ivri is chayiv in all the mitzvahs. He's Jewish. But in Eved Kanani, his status is the same as a woman. He's chayiv in mitzvahs, all mitzvahs except Asteish, Shazman, Groman, basically. So they are chayiv because according to him, Lafishi mitzvahs asay shalo Asman, Groman. Because it's a mitzvah say, which is not Zman Grama. But I want you to bear that in mind. The Rambam is, let's analyze that in light of what we're going to read. The Rambam is saying that Tefillah, Midioraisa, is a mitzvah say, Shaloha Zman Grama, which is not determined by time. And therefore, of course, women are chayev. Now, according to this, women are chayev midiraisa only to daven on the diraisa level. That is to say, they're only chayev to daven once a day. But they are chayev according to the Rama. They're chayev to according to everybody. They're chayev because even those who hold the tefillahs, they're rabbanan. But the Gemara says because of rachmi, that women are chayev because of rachmi. So it really doesn't matter, practically speaking. Women are chayev in tefillah. Now the Rambam continues as follows. He says, Elochi of mitzvah zu kachu. But the chiyuv of this mitzvah is as follows. Shei adam eschanein u'mispalel b'chol yom. That a person should petition and pray. By prayer and petition over here, he's referring to request, requesting from God. That's by the essence of tefillah. Umagish shvakosh l'kadosh baruch hu, and he tells the declares the praises of God. V'yachakach shalal tzrachav, and afterwards he asks for his needs, shin tzarach lahem, v'vakasha v'tchina, in a manner of request and petition. V'yachakach nosein shevach v'odoy l'keil, alatova she'eshpiyalo, she'eshpiyalo, kalecha v'fikavu. So basically, the Rambam is saying that you're just giving a general format. With the Araita tefillah, the general format, which seems to include three elements. And there seems to be an order, too. You can't just, the essence, you know, the essence of tefillah is really to come before God and to place your request, your need before God. The petition before the king. But there's a protocol. First, you have to be Magish Fakha. Right, first. You can't just go to your, that's our tefillah.
Yeah.
Follows that pattern. First be brachos, you can't make any requests. Just, pray, shevach. Then you place your request. And then you have to give hodaya. You have to live like a king. You have to give, thanksgiving, acknowledgement that God, for all the good that God has given you. And so forth. So that's basically what the essence of tefillah is. In Hoyarodol, Marba Vitrino Vakasha. If he's fluent, so then he can increase the Trina Vakasha. It doesn't seem to have any kind of a form or a limit. It's up to the individual, the capacity of the individual. Vimoya Areal Sfasayim, Areal Sfasayim. And if he's a speech impediment, can't speak too well, or he's not that fluent, so. You know, there's different kinds of people. Some people are very brief, brevity, don't speak very much. Others are going to go on and on. Medaber kifi yachalta. V'v'chalei sheyirta. Again, he seems to be repetitive. V'v'chalei sheyirta. Then he says that he speaks according to his ability, and whatever he wants. V'chein minyan ha-tfilos, kol echet kifi yachalta. So too, the number of tfilos, each person, in accordance with his ability. Yesh mispa'al pa'amachas b'yom. There are those who are mispa'al once a day. Of course, obviously, this is all before the Rabbanim came along. V'yesh mispa'al in pa'am harbet. And then there's others that can be mispa'al many times. V'akol yu mispa'al in nochach ha-migdash, v'kol nochach she'yir. And all should be mispa'al and facing towards the migdash, wherever you may be. V'chein ha-yadav atamid, Moshe Rabbeinu v'yad Ezra. And thus stood the matter from Moshe Rabbeinu until Ezra. So for many, many years, tefillah as we know it did not exist.
Yeah.
See, the mitzvah is a little bit different in the sense that what do you have here that's the oraisa? What you have here is the oraisa is the chiyuv, but as opposed to, say, tefillin, mezuzah, sukkah, where every particular detail, there's nothing left to your own creativity in the mitzvah. You don't get creative in the mitzvah. You just perform. Tefillah, there's a significant element of subjectivity and creativity. I mean, like you just said, each person davens according to his own capacity. So, however, he doesn't go so far as to say that there's no direction, there's no requirements for the oraisa. Yeah, but the oraisa, there is a requirement. It says you have to begin with shevach, then you have the bakashos, and then you have hodaya. That's really very interesting because it's giving you some direction, but it's very general. And then he says each person pretty much davened in accordance with his own ability. It's hard to think of any of the mitzvahs that are so subjective. Now I want to raise a question. Now I want to raise a question in terms of the fact that the Rambam said it's a mitzvah say, which is not zman grama. Is there anything that we've read here that might suppose, you know,
you have to do it every day? It seems the chiyuv is caused by the start of the day.
Right. That is to say, that couldn't we ask? It's true that there's no particular time in the day. Now, he doesn't stop marking on that. You can daven anytime you want. But you do have to daven once a day. So why is that not considered to be the mind of the Rama? In the sense, in the plain sense, that as soon as you daven today, according to the DRS, you finish your chiyuv. Okay? Then tomorrow comes, you can have the chiyuv again. So you can't say that there's no element of time. It suits the mitzvahs every day. Why is that not Zman Grama? In Perek Shmini, the Rambam says, Tfilas HaTzibur Nishma'as Tamid. The tefillah of the tzibur is always heard. It's never rejected. Yefilu hoyu behem chotem. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mo'ez tefillas HaNshal Rabin. Even if there were sins amongst them, God never despises the tefillah of the Rabin. Lepichach tzarech adam l'shateif atzman ha-tzibur. Different person should join the tzibur. And Rav Moshe holds that it's real chiyah, davening the tzibur. And based upon this point. V'lo yispal b'yachid, and he should not daven b'yachid. Kol zman sheyochol l'spal l'matzibur. This is pretty strong language. That he should not daven b'yachid as long as he can. Obviously, there's tefillah b'yachid, the yechidah. And what's the person supposed to do if he doesn't have a minyan? Where he is?
Well,
that's something else. That's true. That's an additional point. But he says if he can daven with the tzibur, then he's down with the tzibur. Why? He repeats it. That's the reason.
Keep on going. Finish the last one.
Seems to be it's a selfish phenomenon. True. He wants it to be nishmas. The only way to guarantee that it'll be nishmas is with minyan. V'chol mi sheyesh lo beis hakneset v'iro v'inu v'spalel bo im hatzibur nikra shachin ro. Okay. Now, my question is, then you have other things, mitzvah loros for Beis HaKnesses and so on, all the laws pertaining to the Beis HaKnesses. Now, what are we saying? Tefillah b'tzibur, that's the oraisa? It seems to be. I mean, it's tefillah is nishmas. I mean, it's an important component of tefillah. That's not something which you can't create that. That's either true or it's not true. The phenomenon that tefillah hatzibur is nishmas, and Kodesh Rav is not moes, as opposed to tefillah yachid, which may not be nishmas. That's the reality. It's not something which the rabbi decreed.
Possible that for.
I would agree with Mordechai that there's nothing in what we've learned about the Rambam's description of what would constitute a tefillah d'oraisa, which would preclude minyan. And one could say that from day one, I mean, this is not a later enactment that you should daven the tzibur.
Minyan is at that time, though.
One thing. No. Now, let me explain. The idea, there are two concepts in tefillah b'tzibur. When we come together, we have them today. When we come together, first you have the silence from an answer. Is that tefillah b'tzibur? Each person is davening separately. You're davening by yourself. I'm davening. You have a bunch of individuals that are davening. That is tefillah b'tzibur. That is to be meshateh yourself with the tzibur. That's tefillah b'tzibur. That is to say that when you daven, you join together and you form a minyan, but each person is davening his own personal tefillah, together with the tzibur. That's the whole idea. Now, because of the takana, for the Yenobaki, so they have the shat, chazaras hashat. Now, the chazaras hashat is a different phenomenon. The Rav defined, that's tefillah hatzibur. That is the tefillah of the tzibur, that's why each person is required to listen. And you're not allowed to be distracted, now that you learn. As Rav Moshe Paskin, you're not allowed to learn during the Chazaras HaShat, because you have to be listening to it, and if you don't have nine people listening, you use the Shiloh Bracha L'Matola. Now, according to that, there is no problem, and we can envision a situation, as the Rambam described before the time of Ezra, that they did have, certainly you can see why they had Tefillah B'tzibur. That is to say, it's true, I mean, the timing factor might be an issue, but I'm not talking about practicality, though. I'm not talking about practicality in terms of which time, but people could designate a time and a place to come together and daven, and like the Rambam says, each person davened according to his own abilities, language, etc. But you're davening together with the tzibur. I don't see why that makes a difference. If the halacha of tefillah of the tzibur is that a person joins together with the tzibur when he's davening, so then, alright, today we have a text, and we didn't have a text, but so what? The basic idea that you have 10 people exists. Now, in terms of the Ein El Baki, whether that would be relevant in that time, in that situation, or whatever, I don't see why you couldn't even have that. Because the tefillah ha-tzibur, that's already an enactment, though, because of Ein El Baki. Okay? But I'm saying, theoretically, that could have existed. You could even have had that situation before Ezra, because let's say there were people in the minyan that didn't have a davening. He talks about people that weren't fluent.
So then
one person can get up and then say a basic tefillah according to his own language. No. A basic tefillah. With starting out with Shevach and then Bakasha, and then but it would be, the kavan would be that it's for everybody and everybody would listen. And answer Amen. See, the thing, the idea of tefillah b'tzi, and I'm saying even tefillah b'tzi, but I don't think that it's necessarily contingent upon all the takanas that were made after the fact. Does that answer the question? The conclusion of what I'm saying, if it's correct, is that one can assume that the idea of tefillah b'tzi, is the arisa, according to the Rama. Obviously, according to everybody. Hold on a second. When you're talking about tefillah b'tzibur, even the Ramban, for example, that holds that tefillah is midrabanan, you have to understand. How can you say that tefillah is midrabanan? Let's ask that question even before we plunge into the Ramban. How can anybody say that tefillah is midrabanan? You have tefillah in the Torah. Moshe was nispalo. Moshe was nispalo. Avram was nispalo. So you see that the tefillah is the oraisa. The phenomenon of tefillah is the oraisa. The reality of tefillah, the kiyum of tefillah, the chafdish of tefillah, all this is the oraisa. The question is whether there's a specific mitzvah on a person to daven. You see in Minhag Torah that even there you can't deny. It's very hard to deny that there is a chiyuv of a sort. Because when the Jews were in trouble, they were nispalo. I mean, Moshe, whenever there was a calamity, Moshe was nispalo. So I mean, well, he just decided he felt like doing it, or that's what you got to do. It's being mentioned that Moshe was nispalo. For Miriam, Kael na rafa na Allah. But was that just because he was being nice, or did he have a chiyuv to do something? That's an interesting question. Now, even the Ramban is going to acknowledge that there are situations where there's a chiyuv, like a tzara. Now, if that's the case, just like the Ramban is not arguing that the phenomenon of tefillah is a diorais, and he's not saying that a person can't daven every day, that's not his point. He's merely saying that a person was not obligated to do so. And his own created the chiyuv. If the person wanted to, well, why not? First anachola, according to the Ramban, first anachola, before what did he do? He didn't follow. That's not the issue. So therefore, it makes sense to say that the idea of tefillah b'tzibur, and even the Ramban could agree that's the arise. That is the kiyum. The kiyum of tefillah. Everybody agrees that tefillah is the arise. The kiyum of tefillah is the arise. The only question we're having is the nation of chiyum. But then it's not difficult to say that everybody would agree that tefillah b'tzibur, because of the elements of tzibur, is not, that's not the idea that was created by the rabbis, that's midiyaraisa. It seems that the reason why the Rambam does not regard tefillah as his mind grama, even though he's saying it's b'chol yom, and one can argue that if you break that down, that means that there was a time when he's patur from the mitzvah on day one. Is when he davened, he said he fulfilled his obligation, he doesn't have to daven anymore. And then, 24 hours later, whenever the next day comes, he has a chiyuv again. So, superficially anyways, it appears that there's this man factor. But the answer is that there's a difference, conceptually, between that and a mitzvah like, say, Megillah, or say, Matzah, on Pesach. There, the machayir of the mitzvah is the zman itself. There's something in that zman which that is Yudalad Nisan. Actually, it says Bav Nisan.
Don't we have any mitzvah says that my grandmother every day though?
One second. The zman creates the chiyah. In this case, it's not the zman that creates the chiyah. It's just that due to the nature of the mitzvah, it expressed itself in units of time. That's a different idea. That it is an inherent chiyah on a person in his body, in his existence. But the unit of existence in which the tefillah manifests itself is every day. That is every, if you want to apply the paradigm, the Rebbe's paradigm, the way he explains the machlokes, that it's really about eitzah. But the, as you said, but what kind of an eitzah? Is it a manifest eitzah where a person actually regards himself as being in danger? Or no, it's basically the natural struggle for existence every day. Every day a person goes out, so to speak, in a struggle for existence. So even though he doesn't perceive it as an actual threat and a danger, but that is the unit. Insofar as a person is involved in the struggle for existence, so that's the unit, and there's got to be a tefillah in that unit. So that has nothing to do, it's not the zman that's creating anything. The mitzvah of tefillah is inherent in the gavra, you have the chiyah in the smal. The only thing is that it has to express itself with regard to how he manifests his existence. So you're breaking it down into units. And this unit, the unit of existence is the day. And then when there's a new day, is again an eighth star. It's still the eighth star phenomenon, so to speak. Every day is an eighth star. That's how the Rebbe would look at it. So if that's the case, it's not that the Zman is the Machayev. It's just that the Machayev is really an eighth star. It's just that eighth star manifests itself with certain units of time. That's why it's not the same thing. As opposed to a case, even in a day, like Kriya Shema is Zman Grama. It's Zman Grama because then you have to have Boker. Boker is the Machayev. Then you have evening. Evening is the Machayev. So that's why women are Pata from Kriya Shema. The Zman itself is the Machayev. There's no inherent Chiv in a person to say the Shema. The Zman creates the Chiv.
Aren't women Chayev?
You're doing the bracha, I think that's the Havina. Maskan is that the Pata. And the Pata be Kriya Shema, I believe. That's the Mishnah and Bracha. But the Gemara asks the question, why not, you know, it's called Mohayim, and the answer is because it's Mitzvah Seish Man Grama. I would have thought. I think the Gemara says Chida, Mitzvah Seish Man Grama. So the Gemara says, I would have thought Kabbalah Zemalchus Mayim, so therefore the Nehru Chulim is Kabbalah Zemalchus Mayim, right? So they should have to create Shema Kamar Shemon to put it.
So what is their Kabbalah Zemalchus
Mayim? I don't know. Not this particularity. Not to this particular. Actually, they should do it. What would be Kabbalah without Kriya Shema? It's for mental Kabbalah. It's not about, it doesn't have a particular offer. Okay, so that's the answer. I'll tell you what. Prepare tomorrow. I'm assuming everybody's going to come, right?
What time?
Let's get the... you're going to be coming every day?
I hope so.
Well, you have to commit. You come tomorrow?
I am committed tomorrow.
I mean, one day at a time.
Mental.
Well, just come now. Come tomorrow. You can only talk about tomorrow. You can't commit to the whole summer.
I'm going to try. What time are you starting? 9, 9:30?
No, 9:30, and I have to be there at 10:30. So if we start, we should start on time.
Okay.
Now, what you prepared? You have the sheet. You went through the Ramban. You went through the Olven. Okay, go through the Machlokas and the Ram and the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvah. Okay, it's also interesting, by the way. Take a look also at the who is this? The Megillah Esther. The Megillah Esther. Do you have a copy?
Yes.
Megillah Esther tries to answer up. Tries to answer. You know what answer up? He tries to answer up the questions of the Ramban.
Yeah. Tomorrow I don't know if I'm going
to be here.
Okay. I volunteered to take my niece to my grandfather's paper in Brooklyn.
But we're finished by 10:30, so.
I don't know if she's coming.
She's coming
from Monday.
Josh.
Were you just
last
in?
Old
Cemetery, 15th Avenue, and East New York.
I'll take all my stuff here.
Just go take this.
Brandon.
Hi. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
We're going to take up today. We're not going to take up the actual Machlokas Rambam and the Ramban, which is brought down in the Sefer Mitzvos, about whether or not Tefila is essentially Dioraisa or not. Hopefully, we'll come back to that at a different time. Today, we're going to proceed to begin to the Reb Chaim on Tefila, on the perceived contradiction in the Rambam himself with regard to the issue of Kavana in Tefila. So let's turn to Hilchos Tefila, Perek Revi in the Rambam, and he introduces this Perek by enumerating the various things which are essential to Tefila, which would invalidate Tefila. The Perek Dalet and Perek Hay are very important, because in Perek Dalet he enumerates five things that are required, but not just required to begin with, but post facto. You always have the phenomenon of post facto, after the fact, would invalidate tefillah if they were absent. In Perek Hay, in the first halacha, he then lists shmona dvarim, tzarech hamispalo lehizoher behen v'lasosan, eight things which the person who's davening has to be zealous about, concerned about, and to do them. However, that's lachatchila. V'mhoya dochuk, if he was oppressed, onanas, or it was an accidental, circumstances beyond his control. Osha avar, or for whatever, he just didn't pay attention to these things. V'lo osa osan, and didn't do them. Ein ma'akfin, they're not ma'ake, which means that post facto they do not invalidate. So that's interesting to know. And Perek Dalet is going to list the five things that are required and do invalidate, and in the next chapter the eight things that are important. One should not think that therefore I don't have to be concerned about them, because he says she'avar, if you neglected them, there's an element of being over. However, they're not invalidate post facto. Now back to Dalet, the five which are ma'akev are taras yadayim. That is cleanliness. We'll translate it cleanliness, but he's using a broader term than cleanliness, because he's saying tara shadayim. The kisui ha'erva and kisui erva. That is to say, sounds like a strange kind of a question. Well, what do you mean kisui erva? As opposed to what? A person's going to die. If a person could daven in a state of nudity. Now, I know the idea itself sounds kind of crazy. What kind of meshuggah are we talking about? First of all, let's assume that a person...
Erva is not necessarily erva.
No, erva refers to the genital. That's erva.
Well,
erva over here, as Josh is mentioning, that sometimes erva includes many things. For example, kol b'isha erva, or the hair. Natsar b'isha erva. And generally speaking, the category would be any part of the body that a woman normally would cover. That's not what the Rambam is talking about over here. For example, he's not talking about a person that's wearing a pair of pants and no shirt. Not talking about that. That's not erva. And let's assume that would be in the things that lechatchila he should dress properly, respectfully. But let's assume that he was stranded and his shirt was all torn, whatever the case was, he did not have a shirt. And The time came to daven, and he davened without a shirt. That's in the next chapter, Tikkun HaMalbushim, that lechatchila, it's not appropriate for a person to daven while dressed in a way which would be, very informal or not appropriate, not respectful. Now, it's not a way he would dress in front of a distinguished individual or a king, actually. That does not constitute erva over here. What the Rama over here, the Rama is talking about erva per se. Interestingly enough, also that idea of considering erva to be any part of the body which is not as normally covered, it seems to me, just off the top of my head, that applies to a woman, not to a man. I doubt very much that concept would have any validity with regard to a man. In the same way, you have the concept of kol be'isha erva, kol, the voice, and the voice meaning when she's singing. You don't have the same idea by a man, kol be'isha erva. The concept of erva by a man refers only to the genitals. There is no concept of an extended erva, of parts that are normally covered, because a man's body is not considered an object of sexual arousal. It's the woman's body that is considered to be an erva, because for our purposes, even the voice, the problem to say Kriya Shema or to daven when you're hearing the voice of a woman, because of the phenomenon of hearer. That whole idea of extending erva to other things, to the parts of the body and so on and so forth, is only because it's something which is a dava that causes maharer to be maharer. You see, that's why there are those like the Aruch HaShulchan, I believe, mentions that Bizman HaZeh, we don't have necessarily the same thing, because people got used to it. It's not covered anymore. Like, most women don't cover the hair anymore. So, to say Kriya Shema in front of a woman whose hair is not covered wouldn't be considered an Isser, because it doesn't have the status of Erva anymore, because even though people have mistakenly interpreted that to mean that you don't have to cover your hair, it's not the case. It's also, a woman has to cover her hair. But the issue of whether or not it's considered erva depends upon the metzias. If women go, women all the time now, you see them in their own hair, so it's not something that causes any hearer, so therefore it removes the issue of tsar b'ish erva. So the issue of women that parts that are normally covered being uncovered would be erva is only in the framework of hearer. That whole idea applies only to a woman. It doesn't apply to a man. So the Rambam, getting back to the Rambam, is saying that kisui ha-erva, that the covering of the erva, if a person were in a situation where he did not have any clothing, and he couldn't do kisui erva, if whatever reason, so would he be permitted to daven? Of course the answer is no. L'chadchila. But now he's going further and saying that if he went ahead and did daven in that condition, it's invalid. It's not a good tefillah. So that's a definitive thing. Of course you can ask the question, why not? But that's what the Rambam paskens. Even if a person, let's say a person's in the hospital, and he's not wearing underwear. They have like this gown or something. That could be a problem. Even if he's like, his body is naked, but he has his cover over him. That's still a problem, because it's libo roes erva. There's got to be something which is chotzeis. You have to have something chotzeis between the erva and the rest of your body. So you could see, you can envision situations in which you could see that that it's conceivable that a person could be in a situation where he can't do kisui erva. So the Rambam is saying, in that situation, all of them. V'taras makom tefila. Taras makom means the cleanliness of the place of tefila. Of course, that's something that has to be investigated. What degree of cleanliness are we talking about? Or what would render it invalid as a makom tefila? Basically, it would pertain to if the place has tsoa. If the place has tsoa, generally taras makom is a reference to a tsoa. If there's any tsoa in the room, that's why I mentioned this. This can be practically significant. Sometimes you're davening on outside in the street or on the road when you're traveling. I remember we had the march to Washington a few months ago. So on the way back, it was getting time to daven mincha, and we made a stop at one of the rest stops. And, I wanted to daven, like, by the parking area, but there's some grass by a tree, a little privacy over there. So I made a point to check the area. At least there would be a question of Dalet Amos. Inside, if it's inside and it's around, it's a room, so then you have, if you suspect. Well, see, this is an interesting halacha. It depends on whether there was any reason to check the room, to assume there might be tzoa in the place. Well, for example, if you have a pet, if you have a dog in your house, then you have to check, unless your dog is so well trained that there's no basis for it. But In a house, it would be inside the room, the entire room. If you're davening, like now it's the summertime, you're going on trips, whatever, you may find yourself in a park or on a mountain, a road, and then you have to be concerned with animals, dogs, where people walk their dogs. So then you'd have to check the makom. But there your makom would be a dalet amos on all sides. If you checked off dalet amos and it was clean, then you could have it in the place. As long as there is some basis to suspect. I would say once you're outdoors, there's always basis to suspect because people have animals and dogs, whatever. Then he says, Dvar machov simoso, things that disconcert him. As for example, in this category, he mentions if the person himself has to go to the bathroom. So that's something which would distract him, things that distract him and prevent them from having the proper concentration. Then he says, the Chavanas Alev. Chavanas Alev. Okay, good question. They seem to be connected, because the reason of Dvar Machov Samoso would seem to be, what's wrong with that is because he can't have proper Kavanah. In Halacha Ches and Test, the Ram takes up the issue of Taharas Makom. And, it's not that simplistic. For example, you can't daven in the bathroom. So you see right away that Taharas Makom doesn't necessarily mean it's not clean. Because this can refer to a new bathroom that was designated. Or a bathroom can be clean. If you go to a beautiful hotel, whatever, they make sure that the bathrooms are very clean. So let's say you go in there after the attendants have cleaned it out, it's spotless. You can't dive in there. Now Tzoa is also something which disqualifies it. But Tzoa operates in a strange kind of a way. So I'll just recite the halacha and I'll leave you guys to think of the issue, to define it. If someone davens and finds tzoa, excrement, in the place where he davened, that is after the fact. So the Rambam says, since he sinned, because he did not search, he didn't search before he davened, so he goes back and he davens b'makom tahor. Now, what does this mean? And this is the way the halacha is brought down. This means that hol v'lo bodak. But what if he was in a place where there was no reason to be bodak? The clear implication is that it's the failure. He sinned by not being bodak. So therefore, you assume it's a place where you'd have to be bodak. Because if it's a place where there's never tzoa, let's say this room, we're in a base medrash, there's no animals in the building, etc. Why would anybody assume? I never saw anybody check the room before he davened. So let's ask ourselves the question. Let's say, due to accidental circumstances, he davened, and afterwards he discovered that there was tzoa. It was some crazy situation. Someone had brought his pet in the day before. Or let's say the person checked the room and started davening, and then let's say he started davening, and then somebody somehow or other tzoa came into the makom, unbeknownst to him. And then after davening, he realizes that he davened in a place with tzoa. Now the halacha is that in such a case, the tefillah counts, because what the Rambam just said, that it's only no good because he sinned, that doesn't apply in this case. Here it was not a sin. Either it's a situation where there was no reason to suspect, so he wasn't bodek, or he was bodek and didn't find anything. And afterwards somebody could have placed it there. A second after he finished the bedikah, let's say a minute after, he doesn't have to be bodek every 5 seconds, he was bodek the room, then he went to wash his hands, and then Tzoa got in there, and then he came back and he went to daven. He didn't see it. So in all of these cases, he'd be yotze. So it's a funny kind of a halacha. Well, what about the phenomenon of taharas makom? If taharas makom is essential, and it invalidates the tefillah, so what difference does it make whether he searched, didn't search, and whether it was an accident or not? Now, in Yud, he takes up dvar machov simoso. Things that distract him. Ketzad, how so? Imhoye tzorach v'nekavav lo yisbalel. If he had to go to the bathroom, he shouldn't daven. And whoever is it daven in such a state, his tefillah is a toeva. The chozer misbal, achar shiyaz etzrochel. So it's not yotzei tefillah. V'yem yochol laham et atzmo k'day parsa tefillah sa tefillah. Now the Rambam, of course, has to give you a category to how much, at what point, you know, people, this idea that you have to go to the bathroom, sometimes it's more pressing. How pressing does it have to be? That's what chofsimos are, things that are pressing, that that draws energy or his attention. He says if he could hold it in, control himself, until the distance of a parsa. So a parsa is, we don't know the exact parasang, we don't know the exact measurement, but probably less than a mile. Which would mean, let's say it was a mile, I think the average individual could walk a mile in about 15 minutes or so, 12 to 15 minutes. Now, halacha basically, again, with lechatchila and b'diavad, lechatchila is the person has to go to the bathroom, he's not allowed to daven. He's not allowed to daven. But if he did, it's a tefillah, you know, whether or not it counts, but the b'diavad would be a situation of yochel lahamid atzmo. If it was a situation where he could not control himself a distance of a mile, so then it's tefillah sotoeva. If it was, he could, just that he had to go to the bathroom, but he could hold it in, so to speak, then tefillah sotefillah, even though he's not allowed to daven lechatchilah. So he said again, the avafilah came, even though he could hold it in, lechatchilah is pal, achi yivdok atzma yafa yafa. That is to say that a person should he bodek himself, yafa yafa, to know that he really is in a state where he does not have any type of a distraction. Okay? Then he says, v'yivdok nekavav, he should check himself to see whether he has to go to the bathroom, v'yosir keicho v'neo, all kinds of, phlegm that he might have. Kol davar tordo, and anything which preoccupies him. And then he davens. So it is interesting. I mean, Leslie has raised the question that the category of here seems to be part of the idea. Is it part of the idea of kavana? Now, let's go down to the halacha of kavana. We're going to go down to Tezvav. Kavana is halev ketzad. How so? Kavana is halev. Kol tefila she'ena b'kavana. Any tefila which is without kavana, ain't a tefila. Is not a tefillah. V'yin espalel below kavana, and if he daven without kavana, chozer on espalel the kavana, then he has to go back and daven with kavana. Motza daito meshubeshes, if he saw that he recognized that his mind was distracted, preoccupied, v'libo tarud, he's completely engrossed in something to the extent that he can't free his mind to concentrate on tefillah. He's in that type of a... This is a very important halacha. I don't know how many people really observe it. There's man hazeh. That is to say that it's also really to get up and daven when you're in a certain type of a state of mind. And before you daven, you have to take a few minutes off to really direct to get yourself into the proper frame of mind. There's a frame of mind in which a person has to be mispalo. Also lo mispalo, it's yashiv daito. The person just got into a big argument or he's got a huge problem in business or whatever it is, and he's very much distracted by that, preoccupied or obsessed by that, so he's not allowed down. Because and there's nothing to the contrary. You can't be firm about a thing like that. That's why you see a lot of people in the middle of a hectic day or business, this and that, and they realize that it's the time of mincha. So they have to stop and let's run out, catch a mincha type of a thing. But the kavana, it's just basically doing that like they would pick up a little and shake it. I mean, it's not really, there's no kavana. The guy's completely immersed in all the numbers and the deal or whatever, the business, investments, and so forth. You're not allowed to daven in such a state. You got to remove yourself and you got to calm down and change your framework into a state in which you're prepared for tefillah. The Rambam says also to daven such a thing. If you just had a big fight with your wife or with your kid or whatever, or with a friend, and you're angry, and what kind of kavanah can you have in such a state? So then when you're davening, you're just like going, you're taking the davening and then just by rote, just mumbling the words, and you know, that's not tefillah. Leficha habav en aderech, person that came back from the road, the trip, v'hu oyef, he's tired, o meitzar, or he's still a bit upset, worried, because it's talking about the way, well, even today travel wears people out. It wears you out. But I think it was more harrowing because of the issue of safety. Today, most of the kinds of trips that we take don't have this factor. A person drives upstate. So it's the driving may tire him out a little bit, but he doesn't perceive himself to be in a state of danger, generally.
No,
a person flying, etc. It's in those days, every journey was bad. There were highway robbers. So a person was in a certain state of anxiety. So it's asr lo lisbal ad shetis yashiv daito. It's asr. The Rambam over here talks about it being asr. It's asr until his mind calms down. Amru chacham yishesh shlosh yom. Chacham said that he should wait 3 days ad sheyenuach v'tiskar daito, until his mind calms down and cools off, until he cools off and he calms down. 3 days, v'yachar nisbal. So they weren't that machmir. They were more machmir on kavana, meaning they were more machmir on avoiding a bracha levatala. Our attitude is completely different. We're more machmir on performing the, you know, getting our check, davening up. They were more machmir on the other thing, on not saying an invalidated tefillah. Totally different approach.
Yeah, we're discussing the issue of taras makom with regard to tefillah, and if you study it carefully, it seems that there's different categories. For example, when Ches the Rambam begins by listing places that you can't daven in, makom hatnufes, a place where there's dirt. A merchatz would be a bathhouse. A beis hakise is a bathroom. Veloba ashpa, a garbage dump. That's one. Then he says veloba makom she'ena becheskas tahara. In addition, he says they're not in a place which does not have a chazaka, a status of being clean, ashiyav tekeno, until he searches it, examines it. Kolo shaldova. The general rule is kol makom she'ein karim bo kriyashma ein mispalim bo. Any place which would be unfit for kriyashma is unfit for tefillah. Then he says v'kashem shemarchikim mitzoa umimei raglayim v'reach ra umin hameis umei re'iyas ha'erva l'kriyashma kach marchikim u'tefillah. That just like a person has to distance themselves from tzoa and from urine or re'ach ra, a bad smell, or from a corpse, or erva.
People have to be very careful on the way
as well. So too, a person should distance himself with regard to tefillah. Then he says, "An alachatas hamispalal umotza tzoa b'mkomo." A person who davened and found tzoa in the place where he davened. Ha'ul v'chata neishal abadak atzlo espalal. Since he sinned in not searching, examining before he daven, chozer mispalel b'makom tov. He has to daven in a makom tov. He has to daven again. If I mention first of all, it is shayach. It's relevant to the contemporary situation, especially if you have pets.
Oh,
person has pets in the house. Even if the dog is house trained and so forth, but there's always accidents, so a person should check. Also, if you're davening outside, if you're davening outside, and you know, because it's late and you have to pull the car over, so you should check there you're talking about the Dalaramos.
Well,
you have a garbage can in the room and it smells. If a garbage can in the room, it doesn't smell, that would not possible it, because he's saying a garbage dump. That's not a garbage dump.
and here it's usually in a...
The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chav Beis, Amid Beis, says, Hayimispa'u umotza tzoa b'mkamo. He davened, and he found the tzoa in the place where he was davening. Amar Rabba, the Rabba says, Ava pishachata, even though he sinned, tefillah so tefillah. The tefillah is a good tefillah. Maska lay Rava. Rava asked, "V'hazevach Rishayim Ta'eva." That he's the carbon of Rishayim. If he's a Rasha, so it disqualifies the carbon. Tefillah is malakam carbon. Ella Amar Rava, but said Rava, "Hola v'chata." Since he sinned, afapi shes palel tefillah so Ta'eva. All right. That is to say that he disagrees with him. So it's machlokas. But he, Rava maintains that the very fact that he sinned disqualifies the tefillah. Okay. So take a look at Tosvos. Vazevach Rishayim Ta'eva. Pirish Ri. The Dafka B'Makom Shayelacho L'Histapek V'Litlos Shayesham Tzoa. Ray said that this applies. This, the problem of the Gemara's question. The Gemara's question on Rabba. Rabba said that even though, since he died, the seal is a good seal. Then the Gemara asked the question, but Zevach Hashem Toeva. Okay? So now once you take that approach, what you're really saying is that it's not the seal per se that disqualifies, it's the fact that he has a shame Russia. Now why does he have a shame Russia? Because he went ahead and he davened in a place with Soa. So therefore he's culpable. Or he didn't check the place. So he's responsible. But the implication is that that's only if there's a reason why he should have checked the place. That's why the Rish says that this concept of Zevach Hashem Toeva is dafki in a makom where he should have had reason to assume that there's a reason, that there's a necessity to check that there's soa there. So it turns out according to this that if a person davened in a place where there was no reason to assume it, that there was soa, a place that's always clean and spotless and there's no pets and so forth, and for whatever reason, unbeknownst to him, accidentally there was soa there on that occasion, so then the tefillah would be a good tefillah. So my question would be that how do we understand that? Because we're saying that there is a requirement of taras makom, that the place has to be clean. For example, in a bathroom. Would it be the same thing in a bathroom? That is, if a person... you're going to tell me that it's it always works this way. It's not really the place, but it's the gavra. It works with the gavra. That the gavra, by davening there, defines himself as a Russia. And once he's a Russia, his tefillah is a toeva. But is that true? Now, we tried to set up a hypothetical case last week where a person, theoretically, it's possible that a person could be davening in a bathroom and not know about it. Say he's in a fancy place or a house, whatever, a room, it's a beautiful room, or in a hotel where it's, you know, they've got all kinds of... It's a lounge, let us say. And he didn't realize that the lounge contains a bath, you know, because it's hidden, so to speak, whatever it is. He didn't know. Or at the back of the room, all the way in the back, there's bathrooms. Let's say he didn't know that. So he thought it was a lounge. And he went in there, and he down in there. Then afterwards he discovered that it's a bathroom. Would you say the same thing over there? My question would be that if we say that in a bathroom it wouldn't make any difference, even if you didn't know that it was a bathroom, because you're lacking in taras makom, and that's essential to tefillah. And the Rambam does list it as one of those five, right, that are ma'akev tefillah. So then the question is, as far as tzoa is concerned, what difference does it make whether you are guilty, whether you're culpable over here, whether you're negligent or not? Once you have tzoa, once you tell me that you know I'm in a place of tzoa because of the problem of taras makom, so what difference should it make? We're going to begin with an analysis of the Rambams that are relevant to
Before we begin the Rav Chaim, I just wanted to give an explanation for the fact that by the Taras HaMakom is a requirement in tefillah. If a person davens in a place which isn't deemed fit for tefillah, so it's ma'akev the tefillah. However, one of those things would be tzoa. If he davened and found tzoa, excrement, in the place. So the Rambam said that he has to daven over again. But he gives a reason, and he says the reason is because he was chote. He sinned. The gavra sinned in not examining the place. He wasn't bodek. Now the implication is that, and we saw that in the Tosis, brings down the re, that applies only if he should have. If it's a place where he should have known that it needs to be examined. It's a place that requires examination. So if it's a place that doesn't require examination, and accidentally he found Soa, the implication is that he would not be a Toeva. The Tefillah would be a good Tefillah. So the question that we raised was, what difference does it make? Either you need Taras Makom, and Taras Makom invalidates the Tefillah or not. What difference does it make if the Gavra was at fault in this case? So I was suggesting a possibility that the idea of Taras HaMakom is that a place has to be deemed royal tefillah. And if the place is not royal tefillah, so then it's not a good tefillah. So there's two different ways in which a place can be unfit. One is inherently, a Beis HaKisei is inherently unfit for tefillah.
Even if there's no
tzoa there. It's a Beis HaKisei. A Beis HaKisei HaChadash, a new Beis HaKisei, which hasn't even been used yet. You're not a daven inside. Because once it has the shame of a Beis HaKisei, so it's pasul, it's vilo. So that's Taras Makom. However, in the case of a room, an ordinary room, so there's nothing inherent about it. There's nothing inherently, it's a place is fit for tefillah, but then the presence of tzoa could disqualify it. So there, I think it has to do with the status of the gavra. That is to say, that by davening, if he davened in a place and he found tzoa, so then if he was negligent in not searching for it, so then he designated it as a makom tefillah. By davening, he designated it as a makom tefillah, so that's a faulty designation, because he should have known better. He should have checked. However, if it was a place where he had no reason at all to suspect that there might be tzoa, it was a clean place, and there's no need to inspect it, not that there's an inherent need to inspect it, so then when he designated it correctly. He had every right to designate it, so then it is. Then that designation is a good designation, and it has the status of being a makom tefillah, because he's not a chote. He's not a chote. So even though the object, it's not the presence of the object per se, it's rather the fact that he davened in a place which wasn't fit for tefillah. But that, insofar as the gavra is concerned, it was fit for tefillah. So then there's no psul. However, in the situation of the other cases, there it's different. There it's not dependent upon the gavra. A bathroom can't be a makom tefillah. Whether he knows about it or doesn't know about it, that's irrelevant. Now we're going to take up the Rambams that pertain to the Rav Chaim with regard to Kavana. So he says, Kavana Zalev, Ketzad. How so? Kavana Zalev. Kol tefillah, she'ena b'kavana. Every tefillah which is without kavana, ain't a tefillah. It's not a tefillah. V'yim hispalo below kavana, and if he davened without kavana, chozer umispalel b'kavana. So then he has to daven over again with kavana. Matza daito mishubeshes. If he found his mind was disturbed, distracted, velibo tarad, or he was preoccupied, so basically he has to examine his state of mind before he davens. Also lo lispalo, it's prohibited to daven. Ad shetis yashiv daito, until his mind calms down. I don't know that many people are aware of this. According to the Rambam, very often a person is agitated, upset, preoccupied, distracted, worried about something. I mean, it's interesting. On the one hand, you say, well, that's when he should be davening. Like a person is going for some kind of a medical procedure or an operation, or a person has concerns, has a court case, things of that sort. So that's when you're supposed to daven, or someone is sick in the family. Yeah, that's true. That's true. That should be the underlying motivation, no question about it. And you should place it before God. In fact, Rav Moshe maintains that the person is obligated to daven for a chola. He has a chola, but someone he's concerned about. According to the formulation of Rav Moshe, hopefully we'll get to it, it would appear that it would be usur, so to speak. It would be a defect in his emunah if he didn't pray to God. It means that if a person has a pressing need, he should be mispalo. But the idea is that he's able to focus. He's able to gain control over his thoughts. He's not in a state where he's so worried and agitated that he can't express himself properly, so then he couldn't daven. L'ficha chabo min ha-derech v'hu oyef o meitzar. Therefore, someone who comes from a journey and he's tired or he's still nervous, worried, hasn't calmed down yet. Asur lo l'spal achat tisyay shev daita. Again, it's asur to daven. Prohibited. Because there's no in-betweens over here. Either a person's mechuyav to daven, or it's asur. In this situation, it would be asur. Why is it asur to daven? Because if you're davening without kavana, it's not a tefillah, and it's just simply you being over. I'm being saying, motzi shem shemayim levatala. It's a bracha levatala. But the question arises: what about the chi of the oraisa that the Rambam mentioned? Or the chi, if you also say the chi of the rabbanon, if you want, but it's stronger according to the Rambam, since the Rambam holds that tefillah is the oraisa. So let's say a person came home from a journey. So the Rambam is now saying that it's prohibited to daven until his mind calms down. Now the Gemara says 3 days. The Rambam is not giving you a... obviously that's a illustration. It depends on the individual, it depends on the journey, how long it takes until he calms down. So what about the chiyuv of tefillah midioraisa? Well, I would say two things. Bear in mind that the Rambam said that the chiyuv tefillah, the tefillah midioraisa, does not have any set form or text to it. And therefore, one could fulfill that with a minimal type of a tefillah. And the Gemara does have a minimal kind of tefillah katzara, it's called. There's also tefillah havinenu. Well, tefillah havinenu is really a kiyum of Shemon Esrei, of Yitches. But there's another tefillah that the Gemara talks about, which is called tefillah katzara. I'm just pointing that out right now to show you that it's possible for a person to fulfill the basic chi of the araisa, even though he's really not in a state of kavana, which would be sufficient, adequate, for tefillah yitches. But now, what? Is the Rambam over here talking about tefillah yitches as we know it? Tefillah after the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah formulated it, the yitches brachos and so forth? Or is he talking stam, and this would be applicable to the kind of tefillah he talked about even before there was any organized, formalized nusach text? I would say that the answer to the question, if you ask, but the Rambam himself said that tefillah is the oraisa, so how can he tell you that it's asur to daven? Either there are two ways to answer it. Either you can try to fulfill the chi of the oraisa in a minimal kind of a way, which you might have sufficient kavana for that, and you just don't have enough kavana for the real yudches, that's one way. But if you tell me that he does not even have the ability to have proper kavana, even for a minimal tefillah, okay, let's put it that way. So then, it's not a question, because basically he's an onus. If a person is an onus, onus rachmana patre. Amru Chachamim, Yishev Shloshi Yomim. Chachamim said, let him wait 3 days, Atshe Yanuach, till he rests, Vitzkara Daito, Yachkach Yispalo. It doesn't seem to be any emergency. The Chacham gives 3 days. Let him take 3 days to restore himself. So he has to be in an appropriate state of kavana. It's interesting that you might have formulated it differently, because the question is it that for 3 days he's in this state of agitation, and after 3 days he's okay, or is it kind of a gradual process? It's a gradual process. And after 1 day, he's not as distracted as he was when he immediately got back. And after 2 days, it gets better. It's like an illness. He gets cured from it. It seems to be that that's the way it is. It doesn't seem that they're saying that just wait enough hours until you have a minimal degree. It just seems to be from this that taking the full amount of time when you're completely cured, taskara daito, and you're back to your normal state, then you go back to davening. Then in tezayin, keitzad hi hakavana. What is the nature of this kavana? Sheipana es libo mikol hamachshavos. He should free his mind from all thoughts. The yira atzmo, and see himself, ki ilu hu omeid lifnei hashchina. He has to envision himself. That's interesting. He's not just, not just saying things of him, not just descriptive. The person has to have that it's a reality, that he's in the presence. There is a reality, however it is to be understood, that he's in the presence of the Shechina. Lefichach, Tzorech leishev ma'at kodem atfilo. Therefore, he has to rest a bit, so to speak, to sit, to prepare himself before the tefila. Kedei lechavein es libo, in order to direct, to focus his heart. Which means to say that there has to be a break. A person has to break away from the state that he's in, the state of activity and involvement, break away from that, and pause. He has to pause a bit and direct his concentration. V'yachkach yisbalo, benachas, he has to put himself into a completely different state. He should not render his tefila kimi shehaya nosim masoi. This is a very, very apt type of a description. He should not render his tefila as one who's carrying a burden, umashlicho, and casts it down v'holechlo. And then he moves on. L'fichach tzarech leishev miat achar tefila. Therefore, he has to pause a bit after the tefillah. Chasidim harishonim ha'yishom shah achas kodem tefillah, v'shah achas li'achat tefillah, u'marichin b'tefillin shah. Alright, so that's the ultimate. That's the classical example. The preparation before, and the fact that you wait afterwards, indicates that it's not a masri, that it's something you really desire in its own right. And now we go to Perek Siri, Perek Yud, Halacha Aleph. Mi shes palel velo kivein es libo, someone who davened and did not have kavana, yachzor v'yispalel b'kavana, he has to repeat the tefillah with kavana, v'yim kivein es libo b'bracha rishona, and if he had kavana in the first bracha, shuv eino tzarech, then he's no longer obligated to, which means to say that he had kavana in the first bracha, would appear, but did not have kavana in the remaining tefillah. That's a very big chiddush, aside from the fact that it seems to be contrary to what he said before, where he didn't differentiate. That now it seems to be a very serious modification of the requirement of tefillah. And if that is the case, so this wouldn't this cause an alteration in the basic halacha that he has to wait 3 days, because now all we require is kavanah in the first bracha. That does not seem that difficult, that a person from a journey has to calm himself down and wait and all of that. Now if he had kavanah in the first bracha before, he didn't introduce this idea at all, and if that is the case, why didn't he say that? He should have said that if he has kavanah, if he estimates, he examines himself and he sees that he has kavana, he's able to have kavana for the first bracha, so then are we saying now that that's sufficient, that he should be allowed to daven in that situation? This seems to be completely different than what we've said before. Then he says, Misha Torah bi'achas mishlosh brachos harishonos, one who erred in one of the first three brachos, chozil arosh, So he has to go back to the beginning, even if the mistake was in the second bracha, or the third bracha. Okay, because the first three form one, it's like one bracha. They form one unit of Shevach. V'yimtah v'yachas misholosh brachas achronos, yachsa lavoda. If he made a mistake in one of the last three, then he goes back to Ritzei. Same idea, because those three are Hodaya. V'yimtah v'yachas minu amtsiyos, and if he erred in one of the middle ones, chozer l'tchilas bracha she'tah ba. Then he doesn't have to go back L'Rosh. That's the Gemara refers to this as Emtzi'os Eilam Seder. That the middle ones don't have a Seder. Not that they don't have a Seder. But it means to say that they're independent brachos. It's not like one long bracha. Each one represents a different concept. It's a different concept. Conceptually separate. It's a different bakasha. Whereas the first three, the last three, they're all the same. The Chen Shatz Shetak Shumispal B'Kol Ram Al Derech Zu Hu Chozer. He said the same law applies to a Shliach Tzibur who's davening out loud if he makes a mistake. We're going to the Reb Chaim now in Hilchos Tefila. The Reb Chaim begins by quoting the Rambam that we did in Perek Dalad Halacha Aleph. Not Halacha Aleph, excuse me. Halacha Aleph is where he outlines the case that the five things he's going to be talking about are things that invalidate. And then he comes to Kavana. And he quotes the Rambam on Kavana. Then Reb Chaim says, Mistimas Loshon HaRambam, from the plain language of the Rambam, Mavuar, the Din Kavana Hu Al Kol HaTfila. It would appear that the Din of Kavana applies to the entire Tfila. Shekol HaTfila HaKavana Ma'keves Ba. That the entire tefillah, for the entire tefillah, kavana is necessary. The kasha mimasha pasaka ramam beperig yud sham, and it contradicts what the ramam paskin in perig yud, the halacha we just learned. Misha spal vol kivin eslivo yachzor v'yispal bekavana. V'im kivin eslivo bebracha rishona shemeno tarach. There he limits it just to the first bracha. Dimavuar lahedya, which clearly stated, Dakavana enema keves, rakbu bracha rishona, v'tzarachin. That you have a contradiction. Clearly, the way we learned the halacha in Perek Dalad, that kavana saleid ketzad, then he has to, he says if he daven without kavana. If he daven without kavana, it would appear that there's no differentiation between one part and another part, because it's all one tefillah. So if he daven without kavana, so the tefillah is no good, and he has to daven over again. Then in Perek Yud, he limits it just to the first bracha, which is clearly a contradiction. V'nira lomar, and it appears the trei gavnei kavanas yesh betefillah, that there are two different types of kavana in tefillah. Ha'achas kavana shel pirush advarim. One is a kavana of the meaning of what you're saying. The yisoda hu din kavana. And the yisod, the foundation of this, is the din of kavana, din of kavana in tefillah. Vishenis, and the second one is, she yichavein shu omeid b'tefillah lifnei arosham. And the Rambam mentioned that before. We said he's not just talking allegorically. It's a real halachic phenomenon that a person has to envision himself as being in the presence of the Shechina. Yeah. The idea that a person is always omeid b'fnei Shechina. That's true. That's the truth. A person is always in the presence of God. But the halacha doesn't demand anything of you that you have to comport yourself in a certain way. Other than that you're not allowed to violate God's commands. That consciousness of the awareness that God exists and God knows what you're doing, that should permeate you at all times, for sure. But this is a specific halachic performance of tefillah. And when you misbalal, you have to change your state. And then to act in accordance with this reality that a person lives in the presence of God. We're going to proceed now with the second paragraph of the Reb Chaim. V'nira lomar. The Trey Gavnei Kavanas Yesh Betfilo. It appears that there are two types of Kavana in Tfilo. Ha'achas Kavana Shel Pirish Hadvarim. And one is the Kavana of the meaning of the words, of the ideas. The Yesoda Hi Din Kavana. And the foundation is a din of kavana. Chenis shi'chavein shu omeid b'tfilu l'fnei Hashem. The second one is different, as we'll see. One is a kavana which is specific to tefillah itself, specific due to the fact that it's tefillah. Now, the other one is kavana that is omeid b'tfilu l'fnei Hashem. That's a different type of kavana. Because in tefillah you have two things. You have the chafta shel tefillah, right, which is the varm, the thing you say. But then the idea of tefillah is that you're standing in the presence of God and you're addressing this to God. So that's another kavana. Vavu b'dvar perik dal acham. Zeh lashono. Umahi ha-kavana. What is the kavana? She punas libo mikol ha-machshavos. That he should free his mind from all thoughts. The ero atzmo ki'ilu omeid lefnei ha-shechina. And he should envision himself as though he's standing in the presence of the Shechina. V'nira de kavana zu einu midin kavana. And it appears that this kavana is not from the din of kavana. Rak shehu me'etzam ma'isa tefila. But rather it is part of the very character of the ma'isa tefila. Yeah, that this kavana is not something which is super added or anything. It's by definition. It's something which is tefila by definition. Because this is the essence of tefillah, the essence of a mispalo. What's a mispalo? A mispalo is someone who views himself as being in the presence of God. So if a person doesn't have that kavana, so then he's not davening. In ein libo ponui, if he doesn't clear his thoughts, the ein, but more consequential, the ein oroes atzmo, she'omed l'fnei Hashem. And with Powell, he doesn't view himself as though he's standing in the presence of God and davening. Ain't that my tefillah? It's not tefillah. Arehu bechlal misasek, the ainbo din maisa. What does that mean? Misasek is, for example, by Shabbos, if a person is misasek in one thing, and accidentally he does a malacha. So it's not considered to be a malacha because he didn't have kavana to do the that malacha. Basically, kenotes misasik is like when you're absent-minded. That you're in the course, you want to, on Shabbos, for example, you're involved in doing one thing, and accidentally you do something which is a malacha. So that's considered to be misasik because you had no intention to do that malacha. So it's not a maisa. It's not considered a maisa. In the human framework, a maisa is not just a physical phenomenon. It has to have intention, a certain intention to do it. So the analogy over here is that if he's lacking that intention, so then there's not a mice of tefillah. He's just going through the motions. He's just saying the words, but you can't call it tefillah. The al-kain makeves kavanazu b'chol ha-tefillah. Therefore, he says that this kavana is disqualifies throughout the entire tefillah. Dibamakam shoyim misasek. For in the place where he was misasek, that is, if he lacked this kavana, dino kaloas palo kwal. He didn't daven. Uki ilu dileg milos ela. And it's like he skipped over these words. So he's saying, if a person loses track of this kavana, whatever he says in that state, without this kavana, those brachos that he says, have the status of being misasek. which he says is not tefillah. Yeah, so then it's omitting it from the tefillah. So the tefillah is lacking. So it's not a complete tefillah. It's not a complete tefillah. He's not yosef. The person skipped brachos from the tefillah. Even if he had come on, he just skipped. He forgot, whatever. He has to stop and open it. With regard to tefillah, you have to have all the brachos. It's 19 brachos. If you're missing one of the brachos, you have to daven over again. And only in that state where he's conscious of what he's doing. And he knows that he's standing b'tfilo. It's amazing halacha. He doesn't know the meaning of what he's saying. Shezeh din musuyim rak b'tfilo, levad, which is a din, a specific din to tfilo itself. Hosafas din kavana, which is a addition to the din of kavana. The basic idea, the way I understand it, is that, except for the first bracha, with regard to all of the other brachos, he doesn't understand the meaning of what he's saying. But he recognizes that he is standing in the presence of God and is presenting a petition to God. So then he fulfilled his basic obligation of prayer. So he doesn't know the meaning of what he's saying, other than the first bracha. But he knows what he knows that these constitute petitions. That's right. I mean, he has to know what he's not spelling it out. But obviously, he has to know that what tefillah is. But as he recites the bracha, he doesn't know the meaning of the word. So then, but still, he knows that what he's saying is a petition to God. He's conscious of that. He's conscious of that. Bezehu the Iri Hasugya, the bracha of Staf Lamadalad, Hamispal Tsarech Shiyachavin Libo B'chol HaBrachos, that the Mispalel must concentrate his heart, well, the heart also refers to the mind, the thoughts, in all of the brachos. See, now you're getting into the brachos. V'yameino Yachol L'chavin Es Libo B'kulam, and if he cannot do so, in all of them, Yechavein bi'achas nehen. So he should at least do so in one of them. That's the way the Gemara first starts off. Amar Rav Chiya, Amar Rav Safra, Mishum Chad Bei Rebbe, Ba'avos. So he said that the one that we're talking about is Ba'avos, not just anyone. He modifies the position. He at least must be Mechavein in Avos. The MS, the Gambadin Kavana, Trey Dinam Yeshbaza. And in truth, also concerning the Din of Kavana, there are two Dinam. Chada Din Kavana, Shemachavain Lasos HaMitzvah, Vahavi Midin Kavana, Shalkal HaMitzvos. The Kaimalan Mitzvos Trichos Kavana. See, now he's breaking it down even further. Now, when you talk about Kavana, and you apply it to tefillah, there's two ideas in kavanah. One is the kavanah that you have by all the mitzvahs. There's a whole machlokas, whether mitzvahs tzrichos kavanah, mitzvahs ain't tzrichos kavanah. So he says, we paskin that mitzvahs tzrichos kavanah. So he's operating on that principle, that mitzvahs tzrichos kavanah. So therefore, if mitzvahs tzrichos kavanah, so then tefillah also is a mitzvah, so it requires kavanah. Now, with regard to this kavana, that you're doing the mitzvah, there's no difference the one bracha between avos and any other bracha. Kivan dehu din hanoheg b'chala mitzvos. Since that's a din which applies to all the mitzvos. I mean, he's pointing out again that this discussion about the bracha and the other brachas has to be a different kind of a kavana. Because the kavana of mitzvah applies equally to everything, all the brachas. Because by other mitzvahs, all mitzvahs trichos kavana, so the entire mitzvah requires kavana. and it's insufficient to have partial kavana. Kavana by part of it, you have to have kavana throughout the entire performance. Because whatever part of it you perform without kavana would be lacking, so you didn't do the mitzvah. Chanami b'tfiloh. Here too, you have to apply the same rule by tfiloh. The chavasa kula tzvicha kavana. When you apply this rule to tfiloh, you'd have to say that the entire tfiloh requires kavana. That's the general kavana. V'zeo shepozok kein harambam. Daho debeinin sheyeda shu over the tfiloh va'akev b'chala tfiloh kula. So he's breaking down this first Rambam of kavana b'tfiloh. He's breaking into two foundations now. And that is the tefillah which is ma'akev, I'm sorry, the kavana which is ma'akev throughout the entire tefillah is based upon two principles. One is kavanas mitzvah, which mitzvah svichas kavana. So you have to have kavana that you're doing the mitzvah. And that's ma'akev throughout the entire tefillah. V'hainu mitrei tami. So now, this Rambam, the first Rambam that we did, that's Ma'akev, it's Ma'akev in the entire tefillah, is based on two reasons, two sources. Chada mishum debalav hachi havi misasek. Pay careful attention so we understand the distinction he's making. One is because without this, it's considered to be misasek. The od mishum din mitzvos shrichas kavana. And secondly, because of the din of mitzvos shrichas kavana, what he's saying basically is that a person that is lacking, he doesn't engage in the panas libo and direct himself to the fact that he's only b'fnei Hashem, is so that tefillah is puzzled for two reasons. One is because it's not a ma'isa tefillah. And secondly, even if you were to say that it was, but it's lacking in mitzvah srichas kavana. The question that I want to raise is, what exactly is meant by kavana, kavanas mitzvah? Now my understanding is, simply, the kavana, that you're doing this to do the mitzvah. Like you pick up a lulav. According to this viewpoint, if you just, well, that would be a case, here's a case of misasek. A case of mezasek would be that there's a lulav on the table and there's some books that you want to get to. So you pick up the lulav and put it aside and take the books. That seems to me that you wouldn't be yotzei. It's a question whether you'd be yotzei even if you hold mitzvah zain shrichas kavana. Because you're mezasek, you had no intention to pick up the... Let's just clear the air. Let's just set up the territory of what we're talking about in terms of mitzvah shrichas kavana, mitzvah zain shrichas. What do you mean? You have misasek, you have doing the mitzvah without kavana, and then you have doing the mitzvah with kavana. Now, what's misasek? Like I just said, a person is rifling through the table looking for some papers, and it just happens to be a lulav and esrog again. He picks it up, moves it away. He had no intention. He may not even be aware that it was a lulav and esrog, but he picked it up. And the way he picked it up, you could see it was, derech kedibasan. It was picked up in a way which would be yotzei. But that's not even picking up the lolo. What would be the case of picking it up, not misasek, but not kavana? Comes into the house, sees the lolo, and that's why he wants to take a look at it. Picks it up, and he picks it up, looks at it, holds it. He could even shake it, but he had no intention to do the mitzvah. Wasn't even thinking about that. That's a case where he did the maisa. See, in the first case, there was no ma'isa. Not a ma'isa mitzvah. There was no ma'isa of netilas lulav. In the second case, there was a ma'isa of netilas lulav, but it wasn't with the kavana that I'm doing this for the sake of the mitzvah. That's where the machlokas comes into the picture. What my name says, it doesn't matter. He did that ma'isa, which is defined. Is the ma'isa, is the key in a mitzvah? Is the ma'isa mitzvah intrinsic? Intrinsic to the very ma'isa person.